King Xerxes was a man that when you look at the movie, because many people sometimes glean stuff from movies and they learn stuff from movies. When you look at the movie, he doesn't seem such a bad guy, right? Seemed like a pretty cool guy. Even handsome at that, some of the ladies say. And he's good looking and he's good people and everything, but he wasn't like that. Let me tell you, this man was really bad. This man did a bunch of bad things. Now, God used him. And he really, really helped the people of God, but it wasn't anything like sometimes the movies represent. For example, check this out. At one point, he wanted to defeat the kingdom of Greece. He wanted to conquer the world as everybody that came into power at the time. You see, they had defeated the Babylonians. They had taken over and the Persian ruling. Now, they wanted to take on Greece. And the problem was that they needed to build some things, some bridges to get over there. And it is said that actually, when you look at the book of Esther, it says that they were having a party, right? And it was a six-month reunion. It was a six-month reunion, and they were having a seven-day feast at the end of that meeting. And what had happened most likely was, you see, what had happened was that he got together all of his soldiers, all of his people, and for 6 months they were planning how to take over Greece and things like that when you look at history. Now, he commanded his soldiers to go build a bridge at one point, a bridge that goes into Greece. And when they built the bridge, guess what? A storm came by not long later, and broom, it took the whole bridge away. They couldn't cross, and he got so angry. He was so mad that he called upon all the engineers that built the bridge and designed it, and he had them beheaded. And then after that, he told his soldiers, I want you to go out to the sea where we built that bridge, and I want you to lash the bridge and just 300 times because the seas need to be conformed to my will. And then after that, they took shackles. And they took a bunch of shackles and threw them in the water so they could shackle the seas. This is how little crazy this dude, you know what I'm talking about? He wasn't as a cool cat like everybody thinks, you know. Yet when you read the book, you know, you see that even though God's not mentioned, he's mentioned, he's got all this stuff for him going for him. God is actually working in him, through him, and everybody else to bring his people and bring freedom. And to think that he used a little orphan young lady, Esther. Her parents had been killed or something had happened to them. And Mordecai was his cousin, was her cousin. And he took care of her. He was probably a few years older than her, of course, but he took her into his care and he took care of her. And, you know, it's amazing how we see the story of Mary. A humble young lady, an angel came and spoke to her and told her, you will have a son, and she was bearing the Son of God by the providence of God. God working in secret. And the same thing was happening to Esther. God was working in secret, and she wasn't even noticing it. She wouldn't even know. Now, Esther lived in the citadel, or, you know, a fortified city of Susa, where, you know, everything was happening, and this is what we call modern Iran and Iraq, all those areas, you know. And Mordecai was working for the kingdom, so he had connections and things. But Esther, check this out, you know her name was not Esther, it was Hadassah. And Hadassah means myrtle, myrtle. Now, Mordecai, when the king, after he had deposed his queen Vashti, because Vashti did not want to come to the party and show herself. If you remember, they weren't having a party after the 6 months of planning and stuff, and they were having this big old party, and after they got a little tipsy, you know, with his friends in the court and everything, he said, why don't you bring the king and the queen so she can show herself? Right? And she said, I ain't going out there making a fool of myself with a drunkard friends. Good for her. Well, she got her crown taken. Right? So she gets booted. She's out of there. And now, a few years later, the king is lonely, and they say, well, why don't you get a wife? Don't you get a queen? So they summoned all the young virgins in town, and it said it probably was hundreds, maybe thousands of them. And in the middle of all this big group, there is Hadassah. But then her cousin Mordecai said, you know what? Instead of calling you Hadassah, because that's a Jewish name, they're going to know you're a Jewish like that. and stuff. You know, we're going to change your name and call you Esther. Now, some people have said that Esther comes from Ishtar, which was the love goddess or whatever of the pagan world. But also, if you dig deep into the name of Esther, and Mordecai was the one who named her, you think about it, there is a type of myrtle that actually yields a flower in the shape of a star. And her name was Myrtle, so he changed it to Star, Esther, which means star. And she was a shining star, wasn't she? So this is a great thing. You know, we can think of it that way. Now, she's now making it to the finals, right? She's in this beauty pageant in Persia, and she's making it all the way to the finals. There's 400 ladies in the finals, taken to the palace. And they were going to have a year. And these ladies are going to get cosmetics. They're going to get no surgeries, right? None of that. But they were going to get cosmetics. They were going to get treatments. And they were going to get all these creams and lotions and everything, whatever. And they were going to get prepped for a year. And throughout that year, they were going to be summoned to the king. And the king would say, I want this one or I don't want that one. I want this one or not or what, until he picked a queen. And, of course, we see that Esther, the Bible says, it was a beautiful woman. It was a beautiful woman. A wonderful, beautiful woman. Now, you got to be careful with this because they were prepping her all. And it seemed like when she was called and summoned to the king, she didn't even take much stuff with her because they gave them jewelry and everything. You could pick whatever you want to present yourself before the king, all the great dresses and everything. She didn't do much for herself. And actually, the guy that was taking care of her and the guy who was in charge, he said, Don't put so much stuff on you. Don't worry. You don't need it. That's how beautiful she was. And actually, she went in there, and she conquered the king's heart. He fell in love with her. Actually, if you look in Proverbs 31:30, it says, what charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So don't worry about the outside. Worry about the inside. This is like a little Cinderella story, right? Esther stole the king's heart, and she became the queen. A little Jewish orphan from an obscure town, people who were conquered. She was exalted to the position that any woman could have wanted in the entire world, of course. But this is no coincidence. And I'm going to tell you two big things about Esther. Number one, she found favor. She found favor. And you know what? Woman of God, you have God's favor on your side. And from the beginning, the Bible says in chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as a daughter, came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king eunuch, was in charge of the women's advice. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. I mean, this woman was mesmerized. And everybody looked at her and said, wow. Awesome, right? Now, if you look a little further in verse 17, right there in Esther chapter 2, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, I want to tell you, woman, you don't have to be a mother, but if you are, or if you're not, or whatever, you are highly favored by your creator. You are highly favored by your creator. Let me tell you, he's got his hand upon you, and he loves you, and his favor is all over you. You see, he has made every single... I started thinking about this the other day, and I was talking to my brother-in-law, and we were talking about how unique we are. To think that there's right now over 6 billion people on this planet, and that there is not one just like you or me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want another one of yours or yours or yours. One is enough, right? But you don't want another one of me. That'll be too much to handle, right? So I'm telling you, that'll probably be too much to handle for me, myself, and I. So that'll be, you see, but God has made us unique. And how is it that a wonderful, powerful, sovereign, so God would create us uniquely made for him? You see, that tells me right there that his favor is upon us. Right there. Because he didn't make a bunch. He made one of each and every one of us. Now, if you want to truly be under God's favor, all you have to do is recognize, acknowledge, and just simply honor him. When you give him honor and glory. His favor will be upon your life all the time. It doesn't matter. Even if you're going through difficulties, even if you're going through fears or experiencing whatever in your life, woman, let me tell you, you are the crown of his creation, right? Women are the crown of his creation. There is not another soul. There is not another being that is more beautiful than the women that God have created. I mean, sometimes they are ferociously wild and when defending their children or something like that, they still beautiful. In Spanish, when you think of the word fiera, the word fiera, you know, and it's very common for us to use this, that woman is una fiera when it comes to defending her children. But I don't like to use the word in English because the word in English is beast. She's a beast when it comes to her children, right? I don't like to say that. But she's the most beautiful beast anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. See, there's so many reasons why God will favors each and every one of us. But you think about it. If God had a wallet, woman, your picture would be in it, okay? If that was the case, okay? That's how much he favors you. He's had all of his affection for you. If he had a refrigerator, he'll probably have your picture on it too, okay? Now, that's how beautiful you are. You got to think that way, even if nobody else tells you. I'm telling you right now, that's how he sees you. Face it, woman. God is crazy about you, okay? Just letting you know in case you didn't. He loves you, and he loves you unconditionally. You see, everybody fell in love with this woman when they saw her. And the king just saw her and said, you know what? This is it. I'm crowning her because she was so beautiful. And you see, God loves you. And he loves you so, so much that he sent his son for you. See, John 3:16, I don't need to repeat it because you've known it since you were probably this big, right? Or this small anyway. But John 3:16, we see God's love all over us. And especially women, you can find favor. You can find love. You can find his kindness. You see, Esther found kindness from the king. And let me tell you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his loving kindness is for you. And you see, a lot of times, I know that some people may have gone through hardship when it comes to motherhood, or maybe not a mother that was present, maybe a mother that died too young, or maybe just simply some circumstances in life were not so favorable when it came to family for some of you. But you know what? Esther was being raised by her cousin. She didn't have her parents. She didn't have her mother. But that did not exclude her from the favor, from the loving kindness, from the love of God. And she was shining like a star because God was the one that favored her. Even sometimes when we may not have had the great experience of having a mother and being there, because before the eyes of your Creator, you are still the apple of his eyes, you know? So in Esther chapter 2 and verse 10, we see also that Esther did something else. When she went in, Mordecai told her, you don't tell anybody who you are and where you come from. You just go in there. You're Esther, and that's it. Don't be telling them about your family. Don't be telling them about your Jewish, tradition and your ancestry. Just don't say anything. Don't talk about your people there. But Mordecai instructed that to her because, you know, it was difficult, and it might be that she may be thrown away or even killed. And she didn't even say anything about her relationship with Mordecai or that she was a Jew. And you know what? She experienced fears. She was fearful. And we all experience fears. We all experience fears. And you see, when times become dark and things become difficult and in suffering, but the Bible, once again, like I said a little bit earlier, love casts away all fears, the Bible says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. You see, it doesn't matter how dark it gets for you, my dear lady. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. Jesus is right there with you. He loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've heard this story before, and I've probably told it many times, but I heard the story about little Johnny. He was in the kitchen, and Mama was cooking and everything, and then she says, "Little Johnny, why don't you go in the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup?" And Johnny was like, "In the pantry? Yeah." And, you know, Mama, that's kind of dark in there. And she's like, just go in there and get it. So Johnny goes over and opens, gets to the pantry. He's like, I don't want to go in there. It's too dark. I get scared. She's like, don't worry. Jesus is going to be in there with you. So he's like, okay. So he goes to the pantry. He starts opening the door. He's like, nah, I don't want to go in there. So forget it. And then he turns around. Mom's like, come on, get it. He's like, huh, okay. So he opens the door and says, hey, Jesus, if you're in there, can you give me a can of soup? See? Let me tell you, Jesus is with you anywhere you go. Don't worry about it. It don't matter what your identity, your nationality, what's happened to you, who you were, or who you are now. Even if your life is in danger, then you can trust him. Because Esther's life was in danger. Why? Because there was a man called Haman who was after the Jews. He wanted to kill him. He had it out for them. And this is something that came from his ancestry also. They were all wanted to kill the Jews. And he was all over them. His hatred was so much. This is like a generational bondage from the Exodus all the way for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he wanted to simply annihilate all of the Jews. But then, you see, God was working through Esther. And she didn't even know it. But this guy, Haman, became like a prime minister for King Xerxes. And he started a plot. And he started telling him, you know what? He saw Mordecai, and Mordecai never bowed before him because he had a decree that everywhere he went, people had to bow to him. And Mordecai said, I am bowing down to this guy. So he went to the king and said, you know what? Some of these Jews, they don't follow your laws. They really don't worship, you know, like we do. They don't worship the God we do. They don't pay attention to your laws. You're the God around here. So I would say that why don't you just sign a document saying that we should all kill them because they're not worth it. They're no good. So he started that plot, and the king listened to him, and he thought it was foolproof, right? But then came this young lady, Esther, right? But then you have to understand that this is something that's very difficult because this is a woman who, even though she's a queen, she can't just show up at his door. She can't just show up in his room or in his throne room or anything and say, hey, Xerxes, come on over here. I need to talk to you. You know, like a good wife would do to her husband. Anytime, any day, any place? No, she couldn't go in there unless she was invited into his room. And of course, we see that most likely he had other women because the Bible says that Esther was not called to be with him for 30 days. Because Mordecai had heard, first of all, that there was a plot to kill the king from two guys. And when he heard it, he told Esther. And Esther told the king, and the king wrote it in the Chronicles and said, and she said, it was Mordecai who heard this gossip and who heard this plot. So you need to put it in the Chronicles so he gets the credit for it. You see, she wasn't looking after any credit or anything. And he gets the credit. Mordecai, he gets put in the Chronicles. And the guys, they get put in the gallows, and then that was it. They're done. But then now, all of a sudden, Haman comes up with this plot, and now who's going to save the Jewish? And Mordecai tells, what's her name? Esther? Yeah, Esther. He tells her, you need to go in there and you need to talk to him because you're the only one that can help us. You're the only one that can do this. So what? Even though in the middle of her fears, she went ahead and used her influence. She was using her influence. Now check this out. She went in there. And she returned the favor to the king by protecting his life. First of all, she went to him when there was a plot against him. You see, she was taken into the palace. She was named the queen. She was crowned because she found favor before the king. And now she returns the favor by coming to him and saying, you know what? There's a plot to kill you, and you want to be, I want you to know that. So she returns the favor to the king by protecting his life. And she was so thankful, and they were so thankful for her. Now, think about it. When you think of a woman that risks her life and that's willing to save anybody, you think of a mother, right? A mother. A mother would do anything for her children, even for somebody else's children, as bad as they could be. Amen? But yet, they do that kind of stuff. It's like an instinct, right? That motherly instinct that guys don't have. Oh, we just kind of like, you know, we just don't get it until mama says, move! Oh, okay. We got it now, right? But this is the heart of a mother, the heart of a woman who's, God has done such work to make her so special, right? And she goes ahead and she tells him about everything. And she goes out and defends now. Because this time now, Mordecai says, you need to go into the king and tell him what's going on, because Haman wants to kill all of us, but you need to do something about it. Esther gets really scared. I want to show you in chapter 4, in the book of Esther, chapter 4. Verse 11. You have it up there for me? Verses 11. Esther 4:11 on. There you go. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. You see, she's like, I haven't even been invited to his room for 30 days. You think I'm just going to go in there, Mordecai? I just can't do that. Give me verse 12 all the way to 14 now. So they related the words of Esther to Mordecai. You see, Mordecai has sent messengers to Esther to tell her that, and she sends messengers back. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all of the Jews. Don't you think just because you live in the palace you're going to get away with this? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. See the faith of Mordecai here. But then, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? This is the key phrase here. This is a key word here. Who knows what you've been placed there for? Woman, find your purpose. Amen? Find your purpose, because God has placed you where you are right now with a purpose. Anywhere, anything that God does in your life, he does it with purpose. For if you retain silent at this time, then what? People may die, but you may be gone too. Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai. Keep going. Help me out. Then he replied to Mordecai. Keep going. Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the law, into the king according, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. You see that? The resolve of this woman. You see, I'm going to go in there. And you know what? Tell everybody to pray for me. But if I die, I die. That sounds like a woman to me, right? Yeah, see, most women are like that, especially if they're mothers, right? You see, and that's the thing, you see. It's not just simply returning the favor to the king. But now she's saying, you know what? I'm going to go before this king, even if it kills me. And we're going to save my people. She goes out and she defends her people. That's the heart of a woman. That's the heart of a mother. There was a woman. I read this story about a young mother who was making her way across the hills of Wales, South Wales, in Great Britain. And she was carrying a tiny baby in her arms. All of a sudden, she was overtaken by a blizzard, and it got pretty bad, and she didn't know what to do. So she knew she wasn't going to reach her destination. So she took the baby and wrapped the baby up, and she took everything that she had to wrap that baby up and went down to the ground and stayed there. When they unwrapped the child was still alive, but she was found dead. The kid had been protected by his mother. She had wrapped him and laid over him. Years later, that child became David Lloyd George. He became a man, and he became Prime Minister of Great Britain. And without a doubt, they say he was a great man. I didn't know him. But you know, you just never know. That woman was willing to sacrifice herself for that little baby because he was somebody. Amen? And he became somebody. You see, Haman had conquered this great Prime Minister position and all he wanted to do was bad. But it was just not about personal. It was not just against Mordecai. This is Satan working behind the curtains here and trying to get in the midst of destroying God's people. And you know what? He's going to come after you, my woman. He's going to come after your children. He's going to come after your family. He's on the prowl like a lion, and he wants to destroy. I heard a story about another woman. This woman's called Mary Thomas in Chicago. Single mom of 9 children on Chicago's west side, one of the roughest neighborhoods. And one day, 7 of Mary's 9 kids, check this out, were boys. 7 boys and 2 girls. And one day, all of these gangs that were forming in the streets and everything, one of the gangs came in 1966 and came knocking at her door. It was a big gang of whatever guys and wanted to recruit her 7 boys. And you know what this woman did? She said, "What? You're going to recruit what? I'll be right back." She shut the door and she came back with a shotgun, opened the door and said, "You're recruiting who? You're going to take who? You ain't taking my boys. That's what I'm telling you, you ain't taking right now." And they all went back. They left her alone, but she raised these boys. And one of those boys became Isaiah Thomas, NBA player. You think about that. A woman, a mother. What mother wouldn't do that? I'll just say, don't mess with Esther. Don't mess with a mama is what I'm saying. You know? And she interceded for her people. She went out and said, "You know what? I'm going to do this." Mordecai was instrumental that he was encouraging to her. And I'm going to tell you right now, encourage the women around you. Encourage the mothers around you. They're going to appreciate it. Women appreciate encouragement so much. Don't we all? So encourage the women around you. Encourage the mothers around you. And love on them. When the day of annihilation came, the Jewish were able to defend themselves because she made a way for them to defend themselves. She went to the king and told the king, "That's fine. You already wrote a law, and they're going to attack them. But now can you write another law saying that the Jewish can defend themselves?" That was smart. And they did. And they survived because Esther was willing to put her life on the line. Because God's grace, God's favor, God's loving kindness was all over her. And she decided that she wasn't going to keep that for herself. And she decided to put her life on the line to share the love, to share the favor, to share the loving kindness of God with others. And no one could get in front of her when she decided to do it. See, we need to pray. We need to support. We need to help our mothers and our women here in church, in our families, and everywhere. Because let me tell you, they play such an important role, such an important part. And they go through so much that we don't know or understand sometimes. And if anybody gets in their way, if anybody comes against her, even if she's full of fear, she will trust the Lord. She will find his favor, his love, his loving kindness, and she will find her strength in the Lord. So I pray that each and every mother, each and every woman, each and every one of us may find ourselves knowing that God has bestowed his favor upon us, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has come in grace from the Father to fill us with his love. And let me tell you, even though God is not mentioned throughout the whole book, you can see his work. And he did it through a woman just like you. You have purpose. God can do something great. All you have to do is trust in him, his grace and his favor. And even if things in life may have not made sense for much time, or if you may not have a present mother, or she'd been absent for whatever reason, there's one who's sitting at the throne that's your defender. He's your God, your Savior, your loving Father who will take care of you no matter what. So encourage mothers. Encourage the women around you. Pray for them. Let them know how much you love them and how much you appreciate their tenacity, their strength, their courage. Amen? Let us pray for a second.